I did a documentary in Chicago where I gave kids tape recorders and had them record a week in their lives growing up in a really rough housing project in Chicago. That was the first kind of do-it-yourself radio documentary, I think, that ever aired on public radio. It was, I gave them cassette recorders back then. And I saw that when they took these cassette recorders, these kids, they were 13 and 14 at the time, now they're in their mid-30s. When they took the tape recorders, the microphone gave them the license to ask questions they hadn't asked before. And when, you know, basically everybody in the documentary except them died over the years, these tapes became incredibly valuable to them. So that was definitely seeing the power of interviewing. And the idea of StoryCorps was kind of to take documentary and turn it on its head in a way. Because documentaries traditionally have been about, you know, you do a bunch of interviews and you create a movie or a radio show or whatever it is that hopefully educates or moves a large number of people. And what I came to believe was the act of interviewing could have a big and powerful effect on people's lives of sitting and listening to another person using the microphone to give you the license to have conversations you don't normally get to have. And what I wanted to do was kind of democratize documentary work and give everybody the chance to participate and to benefit from it and turn documentary work into a straight-up public service, which is what we've tried to do with StoryCorps. And here we are.
Any resistance from the network or anybody around you saying, look, this is not going to work?
Well, everybody said I was an idiot and thought it was a ridiculous idea. So, yeah, but I, you know, that's the, I'm a very hard-headed person. So I got it in my head, and I thought it was going to work. You know, I know my mentor said to me when I ran this idea by him, this is a guy who's been in radio for a very long time, was at NPR for many years, very, very wise, said, you know, this is fine, but nobody's going to come. And, you know, and there was some truth to that at the beginning. You know, we had to kind of convince people by doing these radio pieces that this is something people would want to do. And now, you know, 9.5 years later, I was in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, and someone raised their hand and said, you know, I tried to make a reservation at StoryCorps, you know, 2 seconds after you opened, you know, reservations for your stop in L.A., and I was number 3,000 on the waiting list. So to some extent, you know, I think that by bringing this content, these stories to the public and showing the, you know, the kind of beauty and power of these stories and talking about this a lot, we've managed to overcome kind of the biggest barrier, which is people's fear of participating or not really wanting to take the time to have these conversations.
Has it surpassed your expectations in any way?
God.
I mean, from not only the people taking part in the program, but just the folks tuning in to that Friday morning slot?
In every way. I mean, you know, when StoryCorps started, it started as a public service, giving people the opportunity to have these conversations. And I wasn't sure that there would be a production component to it at all. Or if there was a production component, I thought that the stories would start to repeat after a while. And, you know, one of the many surprises has been that the stories not only don't repeat, but they seem to get better as time goes on. But all of us at StoryCorps, we're now about 120, 130 people, are going to fight to make this a sustaining institution that helps us all recognize the power of listening and the fact that regular people's stories are as interesting and beautiful and poetic and magnificent as the kind of stories that were fed through, you know, celebrity and reality TV and all that kind of stuff, that these are stories that are worth paying attention to and that matter and remind us how lucky we are to be alive, and that every life, you know, I think the core idea of StoryCorps is that everybody's life, every single life, every story matters.
Any thought to making this sort of some sort of a module, a half hour, hour long? The only reason I ask is that if there's one...
I love your technical radio questions. Right. I never get these. It's like my favorite topic.
If there's one criticism of the...
They're too short?
Of the 3 to 5, even sometimes 7 minutes doesn't do the story justice. Sort of folks just kind of get into it and then it's gone.
You know, it's interesting. Thanks for the great questions, and I love to talk about this stuff. In the olden days, even the slots on public radio were longer than they are now. You could do 28-minute documentaries, and then they went down to 20, 21. And I've thought a lot about the length of pieces. You know, I actually think that story, what we try and do every week with StoryCorps is to create a poem in audio that is short and powerful and authentic and makes people think and hopefully, you know, uses the full power of the voice and the intimacy of radio to touch people and move people and recognize, you know, walk in the footsteps of someone who you might have thought was very different than you just for a couple of minutes and recognize our shared humanity and all that kind of good stuff that is so core to what public broadcasting is all about. I think I was thinking this morning actually about the idea of someday having like a 24-hour channel where you just kind of broadcast the full 40-minute interviews just have them run, because we'd have, you know, years of stuff to broadcast. And someday we're going to do that. But I think, you know, we're a resource-strained organization, and for the time being, the 3 or 4 minute stories, you know, I think work. I also think that these stories are very intense, and there are issues with putting too many of them together and listening to them for too long. But eventually I think you will end up hearing longer stories, and I would love someday to spend less time fundraising for StoryCorps and think about turning these into longer form pieces and documentaries and so forth. So we'll see. Much more to come.
This began in 2003. There's no Facebook, not until 2004. There's no Twitter till 2006.
Yeah.
I guess, are you surprised that the program remains so important to people at a time when a large amount of people are fine with posting immediate thoughts with no reflection at all? I mean, is StoryCorps going to still have a place in the times that we're in?
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, technology is phenomenal. And, you know, you're right. I hadn't really thought about the fact that Facebook and Twitter didn't exist when we started StoryCorps. But, you know, for all of its wonders, there are certain human questions that Facebook, Twitter, any you know, anything having to do with technology will never be able to answer. And I think that those are the questions that StoryCorps gets into about, you know, wisdom and how to live life and connecting to other human beings. So I think that what StoryCorps speaks to is something that's timeless and human. And I think that we're the better for having a mix of the great advances that technology brings us and the great, you know, eternal human truths that StoryCorps brings us. And together, hopefully, that'll create a healthy and a balance that can help us all live, you know, the best lives that we possibly can and contribute as much as we can to society.
Our listeners often tell us about the driveway moments that they have, whether they're StoryCorps or not. And I know you pose a lot of questions to help get people going on the site. I guess I'd like to turn one on you.
What
are you most proud of regarding StoryCorps? Do you have that StoryCorps moment?
Well, no, actually, nobody's ever asked me what I'm proudest of with StoryCorps. And thank you for asking that question. I'm always really blown away when people talk about the 40 minutes they spend in the booth as being among the most important 40 minutes of their lives. So I think that what we've created in the booth, the experience for people, is something that I'm proud of and grateful for. You know, sometimes good work is hard work, and sometimes, you know, it's incredibly hard. There are incredible kind of fundraising challenges to this thing. And you can get your kind of nose pressed up against the glass, but when you step back and think about the fact that all over the country, people are out recording stories of all kinds of people. We do a lot of outreach to folks who might not have heard about StoryCorps through public radio or through newspapers. So it could be homeless people or juvenile justice, people involved in the juvenile justice system or whatever it is. And giving those people the chance to have a conversation and understand that their story is important and it's valuable enough that it'll become part of American history and the kind of impact that has on people, you know, that's the kind of thing that you kind of have to pinch yourself about every once in a while, because it's such a kind of miraculous, crazy, and amazing and wonderful thing. I'm also incredibly proud of the team who works at StoryCorps, who dedicate themselves heart and soul to seeing through this kind of crazy vision and making it part of American society someday, we hope. From the very, very early days of StoryCorps, there was a couple that came in the booth, and this has been happened, you know, a million times since then, but it was a couple who had been married for a long time, and she started asking him about World War II, and he started crying, and then he really started crying in the interview, and then, you know, eventually he stopped, and they finished the interview, and the facilitator said to the wife, "How was this experience for you?" And she said, it was great, but I have to say I've been married to this man for 60 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen him cry, you know, which was, I think, again, just giving people the opportunity to have these conversations, to recognize that their lives and story matters is a great privilege 365 days a year.